I don't know about you, but as we've gone through this morning, I wonder if we've actually taken stock of the words that we've been singing, the things that have been reflected within the songs that have been chosen for us this morning. Because again, we have that choice, whether we take them on board, whether we just sing the words and they don't really affect us in our hearts. But the fact that we do have a hope, that it is in Christ alone that our hope is found, that we come before him, that we lay all before him, that we lay everything that we have, and that we trust him for all that is to come. And we do indeed have 10,000 reasons and more to give thanks to him when we think about it. So often we look at the negative, we look at the things that we haven't got, the things that we struggle with. But do we look at what we have got? And we do owe everything to him who gave his all for us. That song that we just sang, and also the reading that we had where we read that that Jesus gave his life for us. And last week we were making choices. Well, I hope you were making choices. You may not have been. You may have been asleep, or you may have decided not to make choices. But that choice that Joshua challenged the people of Israel with, to choose you this day who you will serve, and that is the choice that we need to make, not just last Sunday and then forget about it, but every day of our lives, every day that we live. Because we're people who forget. We're people perhaps of good intentions, but they can soon get lost and they can soon disappear as we go our own way. And if we decide to follow God, as I pray we all have done, and if we haven't, that we will do soon, then we need to realise that it will not be always easy, but it will be the best decision that we can make. It will bring a change, and there will probably be things we have to get rid of out of our lives. Things that, whether we recognise it or not, have taken the place of God. But the benefits are wonderful as we enter into all that he has for us. But so often we settle for second best in our relationship with God and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a story told of a man who inherited a mansion from an aunt. He'd never been to visit her, but somehow he got left this mansion. And he decided that he would go and live in the mansion, seeing he'd been left it. And when he arrived at the gate, he saw this house by the gate and he thought, that's wonderful. And so he moved in. And he lived there for quite a while. And then one day a friend came to live, to see him, and said, why are you living here? And he said, well, my aunt left it to me and I'm just living here. He said, no, I mean, why are you living here and not in the mansion? And he said, what do you mean? He said, well, this is the gatekeeper's house. The mansion's up the road. And so often that's the way we live life. We've settled in the gatekeeper's house rather than going on to the mansion to take all that God has given us and all that he wants to give us. And Joshua encouraged the people of Israel not to settle for second best, making it perfectly clear that what commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ entailed, getting rid of anything that takes the place of God and making sure that he has first place in our hearts, not just in word, but by the way that we live our lives. And that's the decision each one of us has to make. And we have to make it for ourselves. And however much we would like to make it for other people, we all have to make our own decisions. And so, having made that choice, if we've decided to commit our lives to Jesus, then we have a hope and a future that is secure in him because of what he has done. For as was read to us from Hebrews 10, we have that hope. And hope is a strange thing. I'm sure we all hope for so much, whether it's for ourselves, whether it's for our families, whether it's for people that we meet. We all hope for so much. But we also have to do something about it to enable that hope to become a reality. It's no good saying, I hope to pass my exams, and then sitting around doing nothing. We need to put in the work. We need to put in the study. Or I hope to be a top athlete and sit around at home when others are out training and putting in the effort. I hope to have a Hocking's ice cream and sit at home and not go down to the van or even make the effort of going out to the farm when the van isn't there. There is so much that we hope for. One day a man visited a farm, and the farmer was very pleased to tell him, not about his farming, but about his love of archery. And he was telling him what a good archer he was, and how he just loved to go out behind the barn and fire arrows at the barn. And he said to the man who was visiting, come on, I'll show you. And they went round the back of the barn, and the man was amazed. There were all these targets on the barn, and in the middle of each target was an arrow, right in the bullseye. And he turned to the farmer and he said, wow, you must be an amazing archer. He said, what do you mean? He said, to hit the bullseye every time. And he said, oh, it's easy, he said. I just fire an arrow at the barn and then I go and paint the target. Doing it that way, he was never going to be an amazing archer. He might have given the impression he was, but he would have had to have practiced to be a proper archer. Hope has to be realistic, built on a firm foundation and worked towards. As the psalmist says in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust, or we could say put their hope, in chariots. But I put my trust, my hope in the Lord. And we trust in all sorts of things. And you may not have a chariot parked in your garage or on your drive, but you may have a car that you trust in. And how annoying it is when it doesn't start, if you ever had that experience. But we trust in all sorts of things. But as the psalmist says, we put our trust in the Lord, the God who created all things. And as we sung this morning, we may sing hymns like In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found, or Jesus, Hope of the Nation. But are they just words, or do we live them out in practice? Do we actually put them into practice, in the good times and in the difficult times? To put our hope in God is not wasted, as the writer to the Hebrews points out. We can have confidence because of the blood of Jesus. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. Because of Jesus, all our sin and wrongdoing can be dealt with. He dealt with it on that cross if we ask him for forgiveness. Because of what Jesus has done, as we read there, he has opened the curtain, the way for us to come into the presence of Almighty God, to have relationship with him. We read when Jesus died, Matthew 27:51 records it, that at the point when Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. That partition was taken away. No need for the priests or anyone else. We just have that access to God. A vicar that worked with when we were up in the West Midlands, he used to say to me at times that he'd be walking through the streets and he'd have his dog collar on, and people would stop him and say, say a prayer for me, vicar. And because of the type of vicar he was, he said, yeah, I will. Let's pray now. No, vicar, I didn't mean now. I mean when you get back to your church. And he used to explain things like this, that we all have that access to God. And while he was quite happy to say prayers for people, we all had that individual access to God. We could pray to him. He allows us to draw near through his death and resurrection, our hearts cleansed, our bodies washed pure. That is the hope we have and we profess to. That is a hope not just for us, but one that we share with others. One that should spur us on. Kath and I went to a funeral of somebody I've known all my life on Friday. And it was back at the church that I grew up in. And there's a man there who is so enthusiastic about sharing the gospel with people. And he was talking to us after the funeral. And summarising what he said, if we have friends who don't know Christ, we don't want them to go to hell, do we? So that's why I tell them about the love of God. That's why I tell them about the love of God and what he has done. At least, he said, that's what I do. Do you? Do we share the love of God with people? People before Jesus had been told that a Messiah was coming. They were looking for him. They were hoping that he would arrive. The message had been given some 800 years before that Jesus would be coming, the Messiah would be coming. People were waiting in anticipation. They were expecting something from the Messiah. And in the waiting, they'd made the Messiah something that they wanted, something in their own minds they were expecting. And again, that's dangerous for us to do that with Jesus. Try and make the Jesus that we want rather than who he really is. We need to know him as he is. And then the sadness when he arrived that so many didn't recognize him. So many didn't recognize Jesus. And that's the same today and maybe for some here this morning. May God open our eyes to see him, to recognize him, to know him as our Lord and Saviour. People waited and he arrived. Not as most were expecting, not born in a palace, not coming in royalty, but born of lowly parents in a place that was loaned to them. Not what was expected, but God meets us where we are, and he sent Jesus for all. He is the hope for the nations. How we need that today even more than before. I was reading something on Saturday morning. I didn't watch, I don't know whether you did, or witnessed the TV debate or slanging match between Boris and Jeremy on Friday night. I just saw a headline that said who won, and the person writing said basically didn't think anyone did. But it was just going through things, and this commentator said, it was like going to a custody hearing where two parents were arguing over the rights of their children. And the trouble is, we are the children and we don't want either of the parents. I don't know whether that's your perspective or what it is, but that's how this person summed it up. So if you haven't been, pray for Thursday. Pray for the outcome and for the way you should vote. Because people might think they are the hope for the nation, but Jesus is the hope for the nation. And it's only as he is allowed to have his way that that will take and become a reality. And there are people, I'm sure you have as well, that we've met over the years who have, it's just so obvious where their hope is and that their hope is in Jesus. I think of a lady, Jackie, who was in our church in Bilston. I think it's one of the few times when somebody has asked for membership and Kath and I went round to see her and she interviewed us more than we interviewed her. She got a pad out and said, I've got a list of questions I want to ask about the church. But whenever we were talking about it earlier in the week, whenever people talked about concerns about this world and whatever, she would just sit there and say, trust God. Trust God. He's got it all in hand. We need to trust him. I'm not bothered. I trust God. She was one of six sisters, I think, five sisters. And as each one of them died, the remaining sisters used to sing a hymn at their funeral. The hymn with the chorus, it is well with my soul. I actually went to the funeral of her brother-in-law, and there were three sisters left, and the sisters sang that song at the brother-in-law's funeral. Jackie contracted cancer. And as she had that cancer, she still said, I'm trusting God. And she said to me one day, if God decides to heal me, that's great, because I'll have longer on earth to tell people about him. But if he decides this is my time, that's great, because I go to be with him, which, as Paul says, is far better. So I just trust God. And as the Macmillan nurses came in to see her, they used to say to her, we've never met anyone like you, Jackie. And she used to say to them, I think one of the reasons I've got this cancer is so that I've got opportunity to tell you about Jesus. And she used to witness to the nurses as they came in. It's one of the reasons I'm not looking forward to going to heaven, is to meeting Jackie again. The reason I say that is that one of the last times I spoke to Jackie, we planned her funeral. And some of her last words to me were, you better make it a good one or I'll be waiting for you. So I wait to see what she thought. Somebody whose hope was in Jesus, not just in words, but in reality. And there are many people, and I trust there are many here, who are in that position. But just as the people before Jesus were waiting and hoped for his arrival, we are now in the time where we wait and hope for his return. In verse 25 of the reading, it said, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. No one knows that day or hour when the Lord will return, but there's nothing more certain than the promises of God. And Jesus said to his disciples that he would return and take them to be where he is. When he ascended to heaven, the angels came and said, why are you looking into the sky? This same Jesus will return. One day he will come. One day it will happen. One day we will meet him. I don't know whether you're familiar with some of the songs of Noel Richards, but in one of his songs, which was entitled The Song of the Last Generation, he says, one thing is certain, we're closer than before. So we're closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus than you were when you walked into this building. We're closer than when I said we were closer, because we're getting closer all the time. We may not know the hour, we may not know the time, but it's getting closer. And we need to be ready for that time, and we need to do what we can to make others ready. We need to hold, as it says in verse 23, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So we need to be aware how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds, to demonstrate that to people as we live this life. No one knows the day or the hour, but we have to be ready, as we sang in that hymn earlier, for the time when he returns or calls us home. We stand in the grace of God until that time. earlier on in Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 14, we read, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, within our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Put your hope in God, who is able to do much more than we can think or imagine." Let's have a moment of quiet and then I'll pray. Father God, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you that because of him, we have a hope that is steadfast and certain. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to realize that day by day, whatever our circumstances, whatever our situations, and help us to walk with you, putting our trust in you, knowing that you are the one who came for us. May we give our lives to you and draw closer to you and seek to serve you and to share the hope that you bring, particularly at this time of year when we get wrapped up in so many other things. May our focus be on you and in the hope that you bring. Thank you for sending Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to draw our time to a close as we sing a song, a hymn.